From the best-selling authors of The Daily Stoic comes the ultimate guide to success, resilience, and virtue, to accept what you cannot control and adapt to what you can. A philosophy sports teams across the country are successfully adapting to, Lives of the Stoics. The Art of Living from Zeno to Marcus Aurelius is available now wherever books are sold.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into episode 3 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here, episode 3 of 5 this week. It's Wednesday, episode number 3. I'm sure you're really looking forward to Wentz Wednesday every week, considering the way he's been starting off the 2020 season. When we decided to do Wentz Wednesdays in August, you know, we thought it'd be the great part of the show every single week, where even if there's the injuries that have continued to plague this roster all year long, regression in coaching and, you know, performance across the roster, one thing the Eagles have been accustomed to over the last 4 years is Carson Wentz, their franchise quarterback, elevating this team, the talent, the lack thereof, and him being a bright spot, even when they're losing football games, right? That has not been the case this year. Carson Wentz just straight up looks broken right now. And not saying that that's going to be what happens for the rest of the season, the rest of his career. That's not the case for what he's been the last 4 seasons. This is not a justification for all the Wentz narratives, but the fact of the matter is, right now, the Eagles not only have an injury problem, a coaching problem, a front office problem, a talent problem, an age problem, etc., etc. The Eagles have issues everywhere right now in this organization, but they also have a quarterback problem. As much as this podcast has been very pro Carson Wentz, and we have defended him to the death, and even Geno right now is still love the guy, but Geno, man, he's struggling to, I think to go after Wentz, because it's just really hard right now to cope with the fact that he is struggling as much as he has. The Eagles have a quarterback problem on their hand, and today we're going to dive into what the issues are. Is it fixable? And I have one theory on what I think is wrong with him, because it's not every day you just see an elite franchise quarterback that he's been, who had one of the most impressive ends to a season last year. He, on that resume, I mean, not a lot of elite quarterbacks have been able to take a team of that magnitude, talent-wise, or lack thereof, to a 4-game win streak in the division, to make the playoffs, the first quarterback to throw for over 4,000 yards with a receiver not hitting at least 500 yards. There hasn't been a lot of, I mean, no quarterback's ever done that. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that have on their resume what Wentz did last year and throughout the last 4 years. So for a guy like that, of that caliber of talent, an elevation of talent around him, to just drop off the way he has, I have a theory on why I think that's happening. There's a lot of factors, of course. It's not just one thing, as much as clickbait media wants you to think. It's maybe just one or two things. It's very much more in depth than that. But I have one theory as to what I think is causing all of the issues that we're going to get into. Before we get into that, though, I mean, one of the key issues is Carson Wentz has to continue to play with fifth string receivers, tight ends, offensive linemen, and that's going to continue this week on Sunday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor finally placed on injured reserve. His timetable with that thumb injury expected to come back in sometime in November. Some good news, rookie wide receiver, my guy Quez Watkins was activated to a 21-day practice window. He did practice fully today, so Quez Watkins could end up suiting up this week against San Francisco. Continuing with the Lou DiBiase, my guys, the Eagles made another signing yesterday. I was ecstatic to hear they brought in my guy Hakeem Butler, the former fourth-round wide receiver in the 2019 draft out of Iowa State, drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. The Eagles signed him from the Carolina Panthers practice squad. Hakeem Butler was my number 2 ranked wide receiver in the 2019 draft, but the Eagles signed him to be a tight end. So this is maybe like a better, I think, Joshua Perkins type of experiment here. Maybe Hakeem Butler is the next Darren Waller. Who knows? I'm over the moon that, you know, it's funny. This offense is not ideal at all, and I don't think it's going to be very good considering you know, John Hightower and Greg Ward right now are expected to be your top two receivers. You're going to have to rely on guys like Quez Watkins, maybe Hakeem Butler already, maybe not this week, but next week. It's not going to be fun to watch, but one thing is cool is that this offense is suddenly made up of a bunch of unproven Lou and Gino draft my guys, right? There could be a moment. I'm going to cry tears of joy. Me and Gino are going to just share in one giant bro hug. If at one point it's 12 personnel and you've got Hakeem Butler out there, you've got, let's say at one point, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, just for Gino's sake, certainly not a my guy at all, but let's say J.J., Hakeem Butler, or we'll say 11 personnel. I don't know. Okay, how are we going to do this? Because Hakeem Butler could play receiver or tight end, regardless of whatever formation's out there. If there's ever a time where Hakeem Butler, J.J., John Hightower, and Quez Watkins are out there, and that could be very likely considering the injuries, the next couple of weeks, if those four are out there at the same time, that's going to be really cool for me and Gino. Not saying it's ideal for Carson Wentz, but one thing that is interesting is a lot of the guys that me and Gino really liked in the draft, and none of them are proven at all right now. J-Jaw's proven to be a bust. That's one thing he's proven to be. It will be kind of cool, though, to see maybe all four of those guys out there at once. But the fact of the matter is, Alshon Jeffrey's still a couple weeks away. For Wentz, we're going to get into the issues. I'm going to get into my theory as to why he's been so inaccurate. He's been so indecisive. He's lacked so much confidence. One thing, though, is, again, you look at these injuries that are piling up, and you look at the guys I have to talk about today that are going to be a part of the offense. John Hightower, Greg Ward, Quez Watkins, Hakeem Butler, who just moved from wide receiver to tight end. You look at an overtime against Cincinnati, who was out there for Wentz in a must-win situation. You had Jordan Mailata, Matt Pryor, Nate Herbig, Greg Ward, John Hightower, Richard Rodgers. You can't overlook Carson Wentz, but regardless of the injuries, last year he elevated that lack of talent, that inexperienced talent on offense. So I'm not giving him a pass by using this as an excuse, but it's certainly a factor. For maybe 4 weeks, even someone playing as well as Wentz last year, like, he can get that team to the playoffs still. But even if Wentz was playing like he did last year, this team cannot overcome this backup-like roster because of all the injuries after week three. Three games in, look, if you're 6-7 and you got to run the table at that point and go on a three-game win streak and you have these kind of injuries, you can win three games despite that. But to go through the majority of a season, to go through 13 games of this, look, we're going to get into all the other factors, but the fact of the matter is, and again, they could fire Howie Roseman this year, Doug Peterson. They're not going to bench Carson Wentz, but you could justify any of these drastic moves. Firing Jim Schwartz, which I'm a big advocate for. One thing, though, is no matter what, these are all factors as to why this team is struggling mightily this year, but as I've said on this podcast probably 100 times, you are never going to see this team's true potential. You're never going to see this team be consistent with those kind of injuries. So yeah, that doesn't mean that Doug Peterson gets a pass, Carson Wentz, Howie Roseman. But when I have to talk about three games into the season, Hakeem Butler moving to tight end, the Eagles featuring a fifth round rookie and a sixth round rookie at receiver, and a guy that I love, Greg Ward, right now, and he's producing really well for Carson Wentz. They have great chemistry, but that was a guy, the majority of his career, practice squad, somebody that played in the AAF, not to say that is who he is right now. He is certainly an NFL caliber player now. He's even, I think, a starting worthy slot wide receiver. But the fact of the matter is that those guys are not Jalen Reagor. They're not Alshon Jeffrey. They're not Dallas Goedert. They're not what this offense was supposed to be. And so you just throw your hands in the air and say, look, regardless of all the other things, even if they overcome all the other obstacles, the injuries now have piled up to the point where I think it's just too much to salvage. That's where I'm at here. I'm kind of just dead inside with these injuries. I'll never understand it. And again, it's young guys, it's old guys, it's guys that have had no injury history before coming to the Eagles, it's some that have. It doesn't matter, man. If you're in Midnight Green, you're going to get hurt. And it's a crazy phenomena that we keep thinking each year, okay, there's no way that can happen again, right? 2017 into 2018, you're not going to lose that many key pieces again. You lose more. Then in 2019, it's even more. So this year, you're like, I can't wait till they're finally healthy. There's no way, you know, you got a new medical staff, a younger roster. There's no way you can deal with that again. 4 years in a row, like, come on. There's no way that's the case. Nope, that's the case. And it's actually even worse. It escalates every single year rather than de-escalates. So that's where we're at here with the injury front. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday. We're going to get into number 11 coming up next right here on Wentz Wednesday on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Guys, it's sponsored by Visa. Now more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities because they know that where you shop matters. Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with a contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, the official partner of the NFL. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday. Let's get into Carson Wentz now. Let's get into what's wrong with what has been a franchise quarterback, an elite, I think, top seven. I thought heading into this season he was top five. That's what he's been for the majority of his career, his four-year career with the Eagles. But for the first time, I can say genuinely, for the first time, I'm nervous about who Wentz is going to be moving forward. Not that just he's struggling. You know, last year he had that bad stretch against the Patriots, against the Seahawks. He looked kind of like he has right now, but you saw throughout the season before that he was playing really well. You saw at the end he got out of that slump. You've seen him get out of slumps before in 2016 and 2018. You had a huge sample size to know that that's not who Wentz was going to be. Now, after three straight weeks of this, for the first time, I can say I'm nervous that Wentz might not shake off this rust. Or not even, I don't want to even call it rust. Shake off this slump. And again, I believe that he can. I would, if I had to put money on it, if I was a betting man, I would say that this is not who Wentz is going to be. Because you can't ignore 4 years worth of tape for three games. But I will say, I am alarmed because it's not just one issue with Wentz right now. It is a lot. The numbers are egregious. He has a 68.9 passer rating in a clean pocket. He's the only quarterback in football right now that has a passer rating in a clean pocket below 70. Five of his six interceptions in three games came from a clean pocket. He has the most turnover-worthy throws in the league. He's 34th in on-target throw percentage. Just listen to all of these numbers that show how bad he's been. His completion percentage right now amongst 33 qualifying quarterbacks, 29th. Yards, 19th. Touchdown percentage, 30th. Interception percentage, 2nd. Yards per attempt, 33rd. Dead last. His QB rating, 33rd. Dead last. He's struggling to read defenses. He's widely inaccurate. His mechanics are wonky. His confidence, simply put, looks completely shattered. And so I've had concerns about his throwing motion before, his footwork or lack thereof inside a clean pocket. I was nervous about that. Holding onto the football sometimes too long, trying to play hero ball when you don't have to. Although I love when Wentz elevates this team outside of structure, like I want him to try to make things happen. I don't want him to check down on 3rd and 7 like Sam Bradford used to all the time. But there's a balance there that he has struggled with and Doug Peterson has struggled to coach into him over the years. I think he's gotten better and better at it each year, but this year it's not been there. And then he got gun shy after week 1 because I think he did it too much. He's just thinking way too much. The wheels are turning and turning like he is a first-time starting rookie out of the FCS. That's what it looks like. He looked more composed week 1 in 2016, where the guy, you know, 8 days before the season starts, they trade their starter in Sam Bradford, Wentz gets thrown into the fire, and he overcame that and looked incredible against the Browns. He looked more ready in that moment than he does in year 5. And that's alarming, because normally with Wentz, with all the adversity that he has gone through in 5 years, more than anybody I've ever seen have to go through for a player of that age and that caliber of talent, he's overcome all of it over 4 years. Now, I think it's finally all hitting him at once, and it's really affecting his entire game. Because when you think about it, just think about what Carson Wentz has gone through And think about how well he's played. It's truly remarkable that he's been as good as he has over 4 years. A lot of human beings would have crumbled in this situation. I wouldn't have had a chance with this kind of pressure. Number one, you're in a giant market in Philadelphia that's very unforgiving as it is to good quarterbacks. Look at Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb hates the world now and everything about the Birds because of fans, because they booed him from the minute he got drafted, and making five NFC title games wasn't good enough, and making the playoffs every single year and winning playoff games was never good enough for this city. And I understand it. I understand wanting to win the big one, and the Eagles fans keep it real, and that's why I love them. But at the same time, they're sometimes brutal and unfair. And so Wentz already came into that kind of situation coming from North Dakota State. So he already had that kind of pressure on his back. Then you have your backup take over your, 11-2 football team in 2017. You're about to win MVP. You tear your ACL and your LCL. Your backup takes your team on a championship run, maybe one of the greatest ever for an individual quarterback. He beats the best dynasty in NFL history. He goes on the run you're supposed to have. Then he has a statue outside, right? The Eagles keep Nick Foles in as a backup, so you're looking over your shoulder in 2018, coming off a serious injury as it is. You've already got enough pressure on your plate. And then in 2018, you get hurt again at the worst time at the end of the year, and Nick Foles does it again. He takes the team on another magical run. So you're Carson Wentz. You have to be in this giant market that's already unforgiving. You have a backup that won a Super Bowl with your team, then took your team on another run when you were struggling to get that team into the playoffs at 6-7. Not that it was his fault. You know, 2 fourth and long blown coverage plays against the Titans and Panthers were the difference between him being 6-7 and 8-5. But whatever, the point is, you're probably not making the playoffs if Wentz continues to play. So Nick Foles gets you back into the postseason, and you're a play or two away from making another NFC championship. So you got to deal with all of that. The injuries, the market you're in, the unforgiving fan base, the backup legend that has taken over your team and taken them on magical runs for 2 years. Then last year, Foles is finally gone. It's your team. You take them on your own magical playoff run. You win 4 games with a practice squad-like offense. And what happens? You get cheap-shotted in the playoffs. What, 1 or 2 drives in? You're like 3 minutes into your postseason debut, and you take a cheap shot to the head. You get a concussion, and you're out of the game. No, not a lot of human beings would be able to come back from that. This kind of pressure and this much adversity. And not to mention, I didn't even say the fact that you have anonymous sources talking bad behind your back to the media 2 years straight, right? I mean, just think about all of those distractions and how good Wentz still was. Now, I think that's all catching up to him, and I think the final straw that really just caved in Wentz, at least for right now, not saying that he can't get out of this and he can't bounce back, but then, after everything I just laid out for you, the Eagles, after the incredible run that Wentz, he just dragged this team to the playoffs last year. He refused. You know how many teams are dead in the water? 5-7 against the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. You're getting embarrassed. You're down 17 points heading into the second half against a terrible Giants team with Eli Manning starting, a shell of who Eli Manning used to be. You know how many teams just pack it in at that moment? Carson Wentz willed that team back in that football game. They win in overtime. They go on a 3-game win streak after winning that fourth game. So you win 4 games straight against division opponents, and you get into the playoffs, and how are you rewarded? Yeah, you get a flashy new fast receiver in the first round in the form of Jalen Reagor, but what does this team do instead of taking somebody like Jeremy Chinn or Willie Gay Jr. or Christian Fulton or Van Jefferson? Instead of a player that can actually help you on offense or defense, what does Howie Roseman do? He takes a quarterback. In a city that's already, that has created narratives about you and loves this quarterback debate with Nick Foles, and it finally, there was none, because you can't do that with Nate Sudfeld and Josh McCown. You finally have all of those distractions seemingly gone, and the Eagles add fuel to the fire in the form of Jalen Hurts. And I think at this point, because how else do you explain a quarterback, again, of Carson Wentz's talent and proven ability over a 4-year stretch? 4 years is a long time to be a good quarterback. You can't just ignore 4 years of tape and say that, oh yeah, this is who he's always been. We're going to ignore 4 years worth of game film for 3 games. How can you explain him regressing? And it's not just mechanics, footwork, throwing motion, accuracy, holding on to the football too long, mental processing of a defense, decision making, confidence. What do you point to and say that all of that went from being top tier in the league to bottom tier? What causes all of those things to spiral out of control? Not just one or two, but all of those things this year. To me, it's got to be the pressure. It's got to be just everything he's gone through in his career with Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts being that final straw on the camel's back. Is that the saying? I have no idea. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. But that is what it feels like to me. How else do you explain it? Yes, injuries. That's a huge part of it. Throwing to John Hightower and Richard Rodgers and having Jordan Mailata block for you, of course that's going to affect you. 100%. The coaching has been terrible. The play calling has been bad. The front office trying to build around Wentz, they have not done a good job of that. So yeah, these are all factors that caused it. But those factors have been influencing Wentz before. It's not just in 2020. That's been a reoccurring theme over the past couple seasons. Injuries to himself as well. And he still has played like a top-tier quarterback. This year, that's not the case. He's playing, I mean, you heard all the numbers I said. He's playing like the worst quarterback in football. And so while all those factors impact his performance, the big one to me has got to be that all of that pressure to overcome all those obstacles I just laid out, to overcome everything he already has had to, that doesn't have to do with actually just playing football on the field, anonymous sources, injuries, backup quarterbacks. To me, all of that is finally getting to him, and he's pressing, and he's lost his confidence, and it's spiraling out of control, and his team right now is not helping him to get out of that. His coaches are not helping. The players around him are not making plays for him. The defense is not making plays for him. And so I think it's finally just getting to him. And I think now it just feels like it's just too much. And I understand it. It's going to be a big what if Wentz does not work out here. What could have been? Because he's had to deal with way more than a player of his talent should have to. Both on and off the field with everything I'm talking about. And so that's how I explain it. Because there's no other way that a player of his caliber can just drop off the face of the earth like this. The injuries, bad coaching, those two things, again, they've been there before. And it hasn't made Wentz this bad. And so while they certainly impact this bigger, you know, motivation I'm talking about for why he's struggling, you know, the injuries, the bad coaching, the front office, it's part of the pressure. It's part of hurting his confidence because I don't think he has confidence in his organization right now. But it's all of that, and it's everything else I talked about, these exterior factors. And it just, look, I sympathize, man. Like, I'm not going to give Carson Wentz a pass. A lot of this, it's still on him. A lot of this is still on him for playing the way he has. But I understand why he's playing this way, and that, to me, is the reason he is. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday, episode 3 this week and episode 3 this season of Wentz Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we dig into the Eagles franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz. And again, like I said, I just think it's all finally getting to Carson. I think it's all the backup quarterbacks he's had to deal with. This city is unforgiving, and they always call for a backup. And so when you give them a reason to like a backup, they're going to talk about him unless you play a perfect brand of football. And so that, the injuries, bad coaching, anonymous sources over the years, injuries to himself, not just his team, his teammates, but to himself, all of this, I think, is finally getting to number 11. And now he's just got to play loose. He's got to find a way to bury all that and overcome it like he has had to do in the past. And that's the thing. I think that's the reason he's playing really bad football right now. And it seems like he's just learning how to play the position because he looks like a rookie lost. And that's never been the case, even when he was a rookie thrown into the fire in 2016. So while that's causing this, he's got to overcome it. He's done it in the past and he's got to now. Or eventually, it's not going to be this year, but eventually this team is, look, they drafted a quarterback in the second round. Let's just call a spade a spade. It doesn't matter if they did it to replace Wentz eventually. Maybe they genuinely just want good backup quarterbacks all the time. But the fact of the matter now is that player is in-house, and so that is an option this organization can now consider if you struggle. And so he's got to get it together, and it starts this Sunday night against San Francisco. And it's not just on him. Again, look, you got to look to Doug Peterson. You got to look at Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman, look, there is no quarterback controversy if Howie Roseman doesn't draft Jalen Hurts. If he drafts Jeremy Chinn right now, even with Wentz struggling as much as he is, are we talking about replacing him with Nate Sudfeld? No, we're not. So again, Howie caused this. I hope the reward will outweigh the risk. Because right now, the risk looks like you broke your franchise quarterback that you paid over $100 million guaranteed. And so it's on Howie for not building enough around Carson and for building a new distraction in without Nick Foles. I mean, look, Nick Foles is gone, but that statue is there forever. That banner is at Lincoln Financial Field forever. Wentz will always have that monkey on his back. Like Steve Young once said, get that monkey off my back. Until Wentz does what Steve Young did and wins a Super Bowl. You know, Steve Young had to replace Joe Montana, who won 4 Super Bowls. Steve Young got that. I hope I didn't say Vince Young. I think I said Steve, right? Every time, I hope. Tweet at me if I didn't. Steve Young got one. Carson, the statue is there, the banner is there. That's always going to weigh on him until he gets a Super Bowl of his own. And now he's got another quarterback in the form of Jalen Hurts, who was a Heisman finalist, a guy that won a ton of games at Alabama and Oklahoma. This was a very well-known player coming out of college that is now in-house that you have to deal with. So it's on Howie, too, for building that new distraction in and feeding the fire that is this Philadelphia market. And it's not just fans, it's the media, and it's the national media. The national media knows they can get a rise in Eagles fans by talking about quarterback controversies. And so you gave ammo to all of these people, and I think it's hurting Wentz. And look, you got to look at Doug Peterson too. Doug Peterson has not helped much. The Eagles this year, I saw the stat today, they're 28th in the league with plays that involve any sort of pre-snap motion. It's bland, it's basic, and what's nerve-wracking to me is that it's going to have to continue to be that way, if not more, because of the injuries across the offense, and because of Wentz's confidence, I think Doug Peterson doesn't believe that he can put in a complex game plan. You heard him in the press conference a couple days ago say he needs to simplify the offense. He needs to make sure Wentz isn't thinking as much. In year 5, that's concerning. You know, we can use other reasons as to why Wentz is struggling, these exterior factors that don't have to do with just him. Yes, they are all valid. They're all valid. But that's concerning. Like, I can't just say, you know, I tried on the Monday postgame show to really go after Wentz without just putting all the blame on anybody else. Everybody deserves blame for this, including Wentz's performance. That's on Howie, that's on Doug, that's on the injuries, that's on a lot of different things. But you can't say that there isn't a Wentz problem right now in Philadelphia, because there is. And you guys know I'm a diehard Carson Wentz guy. I've defended him to the death for 4 years now, 5 years, and I still will. Again, a lot of this podcast has been me pointing out other reasons that he's lost his confidence, that he has struggled. But the fact of the matter is that he is struggling. He's more than struggling. He's been one of, if not the worst quarterback in football. And so you can't lie to yourself and say that, oh, it's not him. Once people get healthy, once the coaching gets better, he's just going to snap out of this. No, right now, Carson Wentz, there's nothing good about his game right now. And a lot of that's on Wentz. The Eagles have a quarterback problem. And we'll see if it gets fixed. I'm nervous. For the first time in 5 years, I'm nervous that this might get worse before it gets better. I hope I'm wrong. I believe in Wentz still that he can get out of this. He's done it in the past. You know, the past is proof for what could be the case in the future. Not always is, but you can use past evidence to kind of formulate a good educated guess. But right now, I don't see that quarterback. And I hope we get him eventually. But right now, we don't have that. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Be sure to subscribe to the show, 4 to 6 Eagles podcasts a week, download it into your phone. Also, you can always listen to every show on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.